for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, our Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, September the 6th, 1992. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Walter Fletcher of the Dallas, Texas area is the speaker of the morning.
And forevermore, I will reign with Him. Come on, bless Him this morning. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel, your King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And
surely saith God, my winds are blowing once again. My winds are blowing gay, even in this camp meeting I do come with the almighty wind of God. Yea, I, the Lord, who do dwell in a high and lofty place, do seek those who are lowly of heart. Yea, I do bring my high-pressure winds, looking for low-pressure areas. Yea, I do see you as a people who are bowed down, yea, and low before me. And yea, I do come with my mighty strong wind, and yea, that wind that does refresh, and yea, that wind that does lift, and yea, that wind that does cause thee to mount up with wings as an eagle, saith the Lord. Yea, I do come with my mighty winds, but yea, I say, I have not only drawn thee to this place, but my wind shall blow thee even to the ends of the earth, saith God. Yea, for are you not my seed? And yea, has not the winnowing been done to even break the chaff from around the wheat? And yea, does not my word declare that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone? But I say unto thee, my people, yea, thou art my seed. And I say that thou art the children of the kingdom. And yea, I tell thee, even now I even prepare thee to be planted in the earth. Yea, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And yea, does not the hope of glory lie within thee? And yea, have you not looked around about thee and saw those who were without hope? And yea, have you not looked around about thee and saw those who were poor and naked and blind and halt? And yea, have you not said, O God, wherewith shall we feed them, and with what shall we clothe them? But I say, give ye them to eat. I say, give ye them to eat. For yea, my life is within thee, and the seed of my life is within thee. And yea, I do come to blow and stir thee, and even blow thee, and thou shalt even find thyself in places that thou even had not considered. But yea, it shall be my doing, for even the desert shall blossom as a rose. Yea, even the dry places shall spring forth as a river. Yea, I shall even send thee to be even my hand and my feeding and my basket and my store. And yea, I say, shut thyself not up unto thyself in this hour. But yea, I would give thee unto a people that are hungry and crying out for answers. Yea, I shall cause thee to know my wind that shall stir thee, even as Samson was stirred in the camp, and it did bring a great victory. I shall even cause by my wind for thee to be even blown to that place here and there, and thou shalt even find a planting and a rooting and a building and even a sheltering for many, yea, who even look for a hiding place from the storm. Yea, I do come with my winds, people. I say, receive of my wind, and let me send thee, for thou surely shalt go, and thou shalt not go alone, for I, thy God, do go with thee as the wind of Almighty God. Hallelujah.
And I surely I would say unto thee, Is there anything that is too hard for thy God? Thou hast looked around and said, oh God, I've heard the word of the Lord, and I have seen this one blessed and that one blessed. But God, my certain circumstances and my certain situation, God, what shall I do about this situation? I say unto thee today, is there anything too hard for me? Am I not able to do that which is beyond which thou could even imagine in thine own mind? Do not look to the left nor to the right. Do not look unto thy circumstances, but know that I, the Lord thy God, have looked down upon thy situation, and I have seen the comings and the going. I have seen the times when thou hast been hurt. I have seen the times when thou hast cried unto the Lord, when the tears have even come up to heaven, and yea, have I not even bottled them up and I've kept them? And I say, I, the Lord, will move on thy behalf. There is nothing that is too difficult for me. I have made things out of nothing. I have spoken a word, and it has caused the very worlds to come into existence. Therefore, look up and behold the Lord your God. Begin to look unto me and know that I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can even ask or think. I say, if you will begin to ask of me, I shall give unto thee even the heathen for thine inheritance. Ask of me, and I shall pour out a blessing upon you that you won't even be able to receive. Begin to pray effectively, rebuking the devourer, rebuking the one who would come to destroy, who would come to kill. And I say, I, the Lord, do surely hear the cry of my children, and I will move on your behalf. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. As that word came forth, I began to see how important our words are to project with our mouths the oracles of God. There's something wrong with a nation that says it's okay to have silent prayer. When the devil says it's okay to have silent prayer, then there must be something to words when we speak them. See, and I refuse to bow down to that. And I think we need to start speaking God's word with our lips. The oracles of God begin to bind demonic force and get off this mental ascent stuff and start speaking God's word so we can hear it. Hallelujah. And the demons and all powers of darkness can hear what we're saying and know where we stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's power in our words. Say, devils, in the name of Jesus, we challenge you today with the blood of Jesus. You will be defeated. You have been defeated. We proclaim it today. We bind you. We rebuke you. We command you to leave in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Speak it out. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Did you understand what that prophecy said? It said the winds of the Lord were blowing to stir things up. Well, you come to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and the wind will stir some of you up.
Oh, Lord.
Let's go in our Bibles, please, to the book of Psalm 105. Psalm 105. And if you would, please, verse 16 and following. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And we stand in awe of your presence here this morning. Father, we stand in awe of your mercy and your love and your compassion, Lord God. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto us. Lord, we can't say that it's always been that way with us. For often we're unfaithful, you prove to be faithful still. And so we come now, Father, thanking you that you have given us one who would abide with us forever. One who would take the things of Christ and make them known unto us. One that would lead us into truth. And that truth would set us free. Now, Father, we're helpless without you. We have a stewardship, Lord, to discharge. Such as we have, Lord, we want to give. Now, Father, I bind by your authority every spirit that would blind the eyes of your people. Or stop their ears that they be deaf. Or close their hearts that they not receive. Father, we ask for a mighty unction of your Holy Spirit. We ask that Jesus would be high and lifted up. We thank you for your mercy now. in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 105, verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land, and he destroyed all the provision of the bread. How many of you like to stop there? Aren't you glad God does it? He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. Until the time that the word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. And the king sent and released him, and the ruler of the people let him go free. And he made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes as his at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. What a picture. I'm tempted just to deal with this particular passage, but I want to draw our attention to Joseph. And if we need a title for it, I want to call this In the School of the Spirit. In the School of the Spirit. I read verse 16 in its context. Moreover, he called for a famine. God called for a famine in the land, destroyed all the provision of the bread. Why? That he might get a man down to Egypt to meet that need. When God judges a thing, he cleanses it. His judgments, when they're in the land, we fear the Lord, but also he turns the people to righteousness, but also God magnifies his name in the midst of his judgments. Joseph was a man sent from God, as much as John was a man sent from God. Whenever a crisis arises in our life or in our land, be assured God has a man that he's ready to reveal, a people that he's ready to display, and a glory that he's ready to impart and reveal. Amen? Amen. Joseph was sold as a slave. God had to put him in prison so he could set some others free. The thing I want you to see as we think about the school of the Spirit, God actually let him be hurt. Bible says his feet were hurt with fetters, and he was laid in iron. But while he was laying in iron, how many of you know some iron was being laid in his soul? Hello? Yes. The iron that was upon his feet was working iron in his soul. Do you ever feel shut up to some situation and said, God, you hurt me in that? And yet you discover that some character was being developed and worked out in the midst of what seemed to be a very painful, binding situation. The school of the Spirit. The Bible says the word of the Lord tested him. And I believe that we live in the days when God's word has gone forth, not just to test the people without, but to test his people within. You see, the Bible says in Isaiah 55, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and it does not return therewith without watering the earth, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire. The word of the Lord tried Joseph, but that word was going to have a fulfillment. That word was going to have an accomplishment. As surely as the Lord said, I am the Lord that I change not. When he speaks a thing, how many know it is so? Somebody said God says it, and we believe it, and that settles it. But I have news for you. When God says it, that still settles it, whether you believe it or not. The word of the Lord came to try Joseph. But God said this word won't return to me empty or void, but it's going to accomplish what I sent it to do. Jeremiah 1, 11 and 12. Jeremiah was given, you remember, as God was training him as his prophet, as his voice for that hour, he allowed Jeremiah to see in the vision the rod of an almond tree. And he said, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, I see the branch of an almond tree, and it was budding. And God said, this is the interpretation thereof. I am watching over my word to perform it. I want you to know that God has sent forth his word in this hour, and we've heard wonderful prophecies and wonderful promises in God. And we're saying, Lord, where are the promises? And where is the fulfillment by which you said that you're going to have a people in the earth, that you're going to have a people who are mighty in the earth, that you're going to cause them to set the captives free and to go forth, and nothing by any means shall harm them? Well, I want you to know that God is watching over his word to perform it. Because how many of you know his word is equal to his nature?
Amen.
His very character is at stake, and therefore we can be confident when God says a thing, He means it, and He will fulfill it. Now, there's a real mystery when we talk about being in the school of the Spirit, and I'm going to use Joseph as an example, and I believe we'll make our own particular personal application to it. But God puts each and every one of us, if you are a child of God, and you mean to go on with God, and you mean to do the will of God, I want you to know that you have been put in the school of the Spirit. Hello? God enrolled you in that school. Amen? It wasn't by your choice, it was the choice of the Lord. But there are two things we need to understand when God allows us to go in the school of the Spirit. Number one, you don't know when class begins. How many of you know that? When you're in the school of the Spirit, you don't know when class begins. And secondly, you don't know what course is going to be offered first. So I want to warn you. You might feel right now you've been enrolled into a course, but you didn't. You may not have signed the particulars. Amen? But here's the thing I want us to take comfort. It is the school of the Spirit. And God will oversee and engineer every part of the classroom and the course and the assignment. God will perfectly oversee every detail because He doesn't see you as a failure. He doesn't see you as a dropout. I appreciate my brother's testimony the other day. God has in mind that you should succeed in all the will of God and that you should come to be everything that He's designed you to be. And God is not a God that says, I hope I can pull this off. You know? I'll give it a lick, but if it doesn't work, I'll go do something else. How many know when the man fell in the garden, God didn't say, oops, I better get plan B going. No, God had a plan that He was going to have a man who would rule and reign and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue. Hallelujah. Reveal His glory in the earth. So we don't know when class begins. One day we might wake up and all of a sudden we find ourselves. It's class time. And we don't know, I say, when, what course will be offered first. Joseph did neither. Little did Joseph know. And here's the marvelous thing. Joseph was a dreamer. How do you know God has promised dreams and visions in these last days? But some of those dreams are dreams that He's put in our hearts. And we've yet to whisper those dreams. But I want to challenge you to begin to declare the dream that God has put in your heart. Declare the thing that God has said about you. Declare the thing that is yet afar off. Because part of what Joseph didn't realize then, but he discovered, was that the very declaration of the dream was the beginning of its fulfillment. Some of you are waiting for God to do what Brother Jack mentioned it today, the importance of our words. If you don't declare a thing, if you don't declare what God has said about you, if you don't declare what the vision is, though it tarry, then maybe you're still waiting for its fulfillment. The very declaration of this man's dream to his brethren was the beginning of its fulfillment. Sometimes we think way out there, God's going to fulfill that word. You've got to hear me, saints. Because yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may not get here. We've got to take the attitude we only have today. And if you're waiting for some great fulfillment out there, you'll just be waiting. But if you don't begin to declare, God is not a happenstance God. He's not a hope-so God. He's brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. And as we look at Joseph's life, everything in his life, he was being trained to reign.
Amen.
Every detail of his life. But it started by him declaring the dream. Are you there? Now, some of the reason that some of us don't see what God wants, and we're afraid, we're intimidated, that if we tell our dream, everybody isn't going to be excited about our dream.
Tell me about it.
Amen? No, everybody's not going to be excited about your dream, but you've got to declare your dream because that is part of, if I can say this reverently, that God has put within you certain codes that says, I have ordained them for this purpose. And I want to release and fulfill the purpose and the design in which I've created them. Bringing you to salvation is the beginning. It's not the end. You've been put on a path. It's called the path of holiness. The path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more and more to the perfect day. But if you never begin to declare your dream, then you're prolonging this school of the Spirit. Well, Joseph didn't know it was going to take him 13 years before he got his diploma, but he got started. Amen? Hello? He didn't know how long it was going to take, but he began. And I want to talk to you about the seven exams of the Spirit, because the Bible says the word of the Lord tested him. It wasn't just the trial that tested him. It was the word of the Lord that tested him. As much as the word of the Lord tested Abraham. As much as the word of the Lord tested Noah. Are you there? And the word of the Lord is that by which God will prove our hearts. All right. In Genesis 37, we have the particular story. And I would like to just comment in passing in Psalm 107, God had more in mind than bringing Joseph to the throne. How many of you know he had in mind bringing his people also into where God could fulfill his good purpose? And he caused them to multiply to where they were exceedingly great, even more than all their enemies. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Amen. First test Joseph is put up against. First class, he's put up against the test of rejection. The test of rejection. In chapter 37 of Genesis, this is an interesting study. I don't know if the Lewises have considered this. I'm sure they have. It says concerning Jacob, in verse 37, verse 1, Jacob dwelled in the land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. And in verse 3, now Israel, or Jacob, he loved Joseph more than all his other children because he was the son of his old age. How many of you know there's going to be problems? He loved him more than all the other children that he had, because he was the son of his old age. And he also made him a tunic of many colors. That would have been a robe that would have reached down to his feet, which would have been symbolic of authority, because culturally a robe that reached down to the feet was a sign of authority. And so it wasn't just the dream alone. It was the very fact that Jacob gave Joseph this very colored robe, a symbol of his authority over his brethren. And when his brothers saw their father loved him more than all his brothers, what happened? Huh? They hated him. There's a part of dysfunction, huh? His father loved him more than his brothers. They hated him, and they could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph dreamed a dream, and this is where he gets in trouble. And he told it to his brethren. And they hated him even more. And, of course, we know the dream. I'm not so much interested in getting into all the dream. He saw that in the dream that his brother were bowed down to him. My sheaf rolls up and all the other sheaves, picture of his family, bowed down to him. Later on, he sees the sun, moon, and stars. Interprets that as being his, even Jacob interpreted his father, as being his mother and brother and all bowing down to him. Verse 11, his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Wise man. So what happens here? The brothers don't like him. They said, let's get rid of this troublemaker. Here comes that dreamer. They reject him. They put him down in the prison. They put him down in the pit. And they first had the thought, well, we'll kill him. And Reuben comes along and said, no, let's put him down in the pit. Let's not kill him. Let's not shed our brother's blood. And then they look up while he's still down in the pit there. They look up and they see a caravan coming, of course, and they're heading down to Egypt, and they decide to sell their brother down into Egypt. He was rejected. One of the first courses, I say, if you mean business with God, and if you mean to fulfill the purposes of God, don't be surprised if you're rejected in the very thing that you feel are the purposes of God. You will go through a course of rejection. Have you ever read Acts chapter 7? Stephen, the first martyr. Do you know why they martyred him? Do you know why they got so angry that they killed him? Well, he began to tell them the history of their people. He began to tell them how God sent a man by the name of Moses to deliver them. But they didn't know God had sent Moses to be a deliverer. Moses was rejected before he was accepted. Then there came another man by the name of David. And David comes on the scene. And how many of you know David was rejected before he was accepted? Now that would have been all right, but he says, oh, and by the way, you know Jesus Christ of Nazareth? He was rejected. He didn't even get to finish his sermon. They drug him out and they stoned him. Every one of God's leaders who have been useful to the Lord have often gone through a period where they first was rejected in the very thing that God had called them to, and rejected by the very people they were sent to. They didn't recognize that they were to be the deliverer. They were rejected before they were accepted. There is the test of rejection. Secondly, in Genesis 39, you will be tested by responsibility. Second course. Now he's taken out of the pit. He's sold down to go down into Egypt. He's sold into Potiphar's house. In chapter 39, we read that Joseph, he's taken down to Egypt. I mentioned this, Potiphar's house. But the Lord was with Joseph. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
And he was successful, a successful man, or it says that he prospered. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. He's a slave now. He can't come and go as he pleases. He's been rejected by his brothers, and now he's a slave. Slave to the Egyptian. His master saw, though, that the Lord was with him and that the Lord had made him, made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and he served him, and he was made overseer in the house and all that he put to his hand. So it was from that time that he made him overseer of the house that the Lord, watch this, blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. You will be tested not only by rejection, but you're going to be tested by responsibility. What do you do in the downtime? What do you do in the time when you seem to be rejected and the purposes of God and the promises of God seems to be delayed? And now you're working maybe on this job, maybe this secular employment, maybe people don't recognize in terms of God's purpose in your life. And yet the Bible says that Joseph was faithful to this man. He was faithful over this Egyptian's house to such an extent that the Egyptian master recognized that this man is blessed of the Lord. And my house is blessed because this man of God is here. Does your boss feel that way about you? Does the place where you work feel that they're better off having you than someone else in that place of authority? Do they feel that they can leave money around and it'll be there when they come back? Do they feel their pens and their pencils? Pads won't, we're meddling, aren't we? What am I talking about? You will be tested by responsibility. And the place of your testing will not be when you're among often those who will accept you. It will be the place of those who have you in this sense. He's a slave now. He doesn't have the privilege of coming and going. He's bound. He's shut up to this thing. He could have said, well, my brothers aren't here, my father doesn't know where I'm at, and I'm just going to give this master a run for his money. Maybe I can even get myself set up in business. Hallelujah. Come on now. No, Joseph was faithful as a slave. And you know, faithfulness is going to be the criteria of our reward. Yes, he was successful. Yes, he was prosperous, but it was because he was faithful in the task he was given. Some of us want to go to higher positions and place, even in the natural circumstance. We feel that this is not my lot and God is going to bless me and God's going to prosper me. Well, I'll tell you, if you do not be faithful to the task that God has given you, if you're not faithful to that which is least, you'll not be given that which is much. And if you're not faithful in that which is unrighteous mammon, and that maybe which is an unrighteous man, you'll never come into that which is of the purposes of God. Jesus talks more about stewardship than any other truth. Stewardship. And when he comes, he will say to each and every one of us, well done, thou faithful steward. That's the word in the Greek. Faithful steward of the things I've given you. Are you a steward of the things that God's given you? Or you say, well, I'll just do this until we really get on to business. The Bible says of Moses that Moses, as a servant, as a slave, was faithful in all of God's house. And God said of Moses, see that thou build everything according to the pattern that I've shown thee in the wilderness. What if Moses had started looking at the blueprints and said, that's screwy. We're out here in the desert. There's no light there in that holy of holies. I think we'll cut a window in the top of it so the sun will come in. Oh, I think we'll put a little something here. I think you forgot that we're out here in the wilderness. Hello? Uh-huh. Well, no, the Bible says that Moses was faithful in all of God's house as a pattern for things to come. And you read one of the most marvelous things. Perhaps we miss it in the end of Exodus, chapter 39 and 40. It repeats these words no less than 13 times. And Moses did it just as the Lord commanded. just as the Lord commanded, just as the Lord commanded, just as the Lord commanded. And when the whole house was completed, just as the Lord commanded, God swiftly came in with His glory. You've got to make sure you're working according to the blueprint and the pattern. Some of us want a greater rate of glory to be revealed, but we're not building according to the pattern. But the Bible says when Zion is rebuilt, He, the Lord whom you seek, shall suddenly come to His temple. Hallelujah. That's how quick God will come, folks, for some of us. When we get the pattern right. Elijah wasn't worried that the fire was going to fall. He said to the prophets of Baal, take all the time you need. When he got his chance, when it was the time of the evening sacrifice, the pattern was right. And he put those stones which had lain strewn there. He rebuilt that altar according to the pattern. He knew that he was in relationship. He was in right proximity with God. He knew the fire would fall because the pattern was right. Amen? And it will be true for us too. Well, let's move on here. Third test. Genesis 39, 6 through 12. And by the way, I'm going to get to a point. This does have to do with our coming to the table of the Lord, believe it or not. Genesis 39, 6 through 12. Joseph, he's a successful now. His boss doesn't care for anything. He takes no thought for anything in his house. He knows that Joseph is faithful. He's prospering. So he turns the whole business over, gives Joseph the key, and said, Joseph, I'm going away for the weekend, but I'll be back. Yeah. While he's gone, he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, verse 6, and he did not know what was, did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. And Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, the Bible says. Now it came to pass that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. He's committed all that he has to be to my hand. And there is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you. I mean, you see, there's a law of the exception there. He's given everything but you. Third test was the test of moral character. That's just the third test, folks. There are more. But how many of you know many people plummet right here? The test of moral character. If there's anything that the church has failed in as badly as the world, it's they fail the test of moral character. They forget that there's the law of the exception. Liberty is not license. One brother said that your liberty should be limited by love. Think about it. And Joseph said, I don't have the right. Yes, I have the authority for everything in this house, but I don't have the right or the privilege to touch you. And we need to see that God will test His people. I said the iron that was upon His feet was working iron and character in His soul. And character is not what you do when others are looking. Character is what you do when no one's around. His master's nowhere in the house, nothing but servants. He could have put them all to work and said, I'll help myself. But character is what you do when no one's looking, and character is the only thing you will take with you into the kingdom of God. Are you there? You see, character is what I am, not what I know or what I can do. We've seen ministries fall, not because of what they know, not because of what they can do, but because of what they are. If you're happy and you love me, say amen.
Amen.
First Corinthians 6:18, please. Test of moral character. I said we're being trained to reign. Amen? 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee. Say flee.
Flee.
Sexual immorality. All right. Every sin that a man does outside the body, he does is outside of the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Now think about that. I don't have time to develop it. Doc deals with that, of course, when we're all together as men. But you need to understand something happens to your very soul. Your very soul. It affects your body. When you yield yourself to moral impropriety, it starts in the thought process. But how many of you know when sin has been implanted, It's going to bring forth a harvest. You never plant a seed and reap a seed. You plant a seed, you're going to get a harvest. You sow to the wind, you're going to get the whirlwind. And God is saying to his people, it is time that we stand in moral purity, knowing that though no one else sees, we have an almighty God who sees our hearts and our motives. And here is a case, beloved, that it doesn't say resist sexual immorality. It says flee from it. When that woman took a hold of Joseph's coat, Joseph got into the wind. He left his coat and fled. There are some things that aren't worth dialoguing about. It is time when you see that the enemy would lay a trap for your very soul that you flee that thing. You see, the Bible says that there is no temptation but such which is common unto men. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Temptation is not sin. Yielding is sin. But 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, with the temptation, with it, God himself. God doesn't send the temptation. But with the temptation, God will make a way of escape. But he doesn't often make two ways of escape. He will make one way of escape. And Joseph said, where's the door? And out the door he went. Are you there? Now, folks, this really hits us where we're at, because we're finding that one of the reasons that we see so much confusion, witchcraft in the church, control and manipulation, is we open ourselves to an assignment and the gatekeeper keeps the door open and in comes a whole flood of other things and problems. Flee youthful lust. Flee sexual immorality. Test of moral character. All right, we're up to the fourth level. Hallelujah. How many know we're going to graduate, though? Joseph's going to graduate. Fourth test. Well, on the heels of this test, what do you imagine happened? Someone said there's nothing worse than a woman scorned. She's got his coat in his hand. She said, I know what I'll do. I'll call all the servants and say, look at here. He tried to, this Hebrew. Now she's putting a little emphasis on it. See, he's not like us. The Hebrew. He tried to do me shame. And so she just bided a time till the master came back with Joseph's coat. I don't suspect Joseph even came back in the house until the master came back. And of course we know. But here's the test. What do you do when you're tested by false accusation? False accusation. She says here in verse 13, she waits for, well, let me get back over there. Genesis 39:13-8. Are you getting any of this, saints? I'm telling you, we're hearing a lot about manifested sons of God coming to our point of reigning and going. Well, this is the process. You will be put up against some tests. And God will test you. And if you pass the test, even as much as Hebrews 6 said, let us go on unto perfection. Let us go on unto maturity. But he said, this will we do if God permits. Well, why wouldn't God permit it? Well, that word in the Greek there in Hebrews 6 is the idea of a building inspector who, as you're laying the foundation, you see, then you call out the building inspector, because there are certain codes and laws that you have to abide by if you're going to build in this city. How do you know God has certain codes and laws by which you, if you're going to build? Abraham looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. The man had gold and silver. He was rich. He could have built himself a city. But he wanted to build according to God's pattern. So the building inspector will come. And you know he will look at the blueprint. And he will check the codes and law. And if it meets the codes and requirement, he will give a permit. And say, let the superstructure go up. Some of you wonder why you're still in the basement. Why can't I seem to reach up and get on with God? I know there's more in God, but God said, I keep sending the Holy Spirit, and he's a wonderful inspector. He knows the blueprints and the codes of heaven. God told me one day, too, I was asking why all these ministries were falling around. Many, nay, we know what they've done. Many have led many into the kingdom. God said, they can't handle power. No man can. He said, I hold the blueprint. But I will show them a part what is their pattern. There are many people who are not only trying to declare the whole purposes of God, they think they can do it. We're not only convinced that we can produce, reap the harvest, but we're trying to produce the seed too. Are you there? But God holds the blueprint, saints. He will show us the pattern by which we are to build with. And if we're faithful to build with it, He will say, Holy Spirit, quickly get down there, examine it, because they're going on. That's what Hebrews implies. Let us go on unto perfection, if God permits, and He will examine our foundation. Well, you will be tested by false accusation. And what do you do in the time of false accusation? How could Joseph prove that he was a man of moral purity and character? Well, he couldn't really, could he? But he had to walk on in the light of Him with eyes with whom we have to do. All things are naked and open unto the eyes with whom we have to do. You see, somebody said that the peace of God passes all understanding. But how many of you know sometimes the peace of God has to come to pass all misunderstandings too? Have you ever been in a place of misunderstanding? When you know you had done the purposes of God, you know that your hands were clean, you know your heart was clean, you know you had done what God told you to do, but nobody believed you. They rather believe, people are more apt to believe the lie than the truth about you any day. Somebody said your enemies won't believe you. Amen. Your friends don't need an explanation, but your enemies will never believe you. Amen. And so no matter how much you try to defend your honor, you see, if you defend yourself, you have only you to defend you. But if you let God be your defense, come on, you will discover that God will defend you. Well, the peace of God passes not only all understanding, but all misunderstanding too. Hallelujah. Well, number five, he's tested not only by false accusation, but now he's tested by false imprisonment. I mean, it doesn't seem like he's getting to the throne very fast, does it? Down to see where his brothers are at, down in the pit, down into Egypt, down into Potiphar's house, and now he's down into a prison. Boy, this doesn't seem like where I want it to be, God. But remember, the word of the Lord was trying him until today. Temptations are always unto defeat. A trial or a test is always unto a victory. God put the tree in the middle of that garden, not to tempt the man, but to test the man. Satan entered into the garden to tempt the man. You make a distinction? God tested the man because God had in mind that he would ever reign and rule and enter into all of the purposes of God. Satan entered in to see that he didn't rule and reign. He wanted to defeat him. And God wanted to exalt him and elevate him. Well, the test of false imprisonment. What do you do when you find yourself falsely imprisoned? What do you do when you find, because friends don't believe you and others don't believe the good report, they rather believe the bad report, and you find yourself in a straight jacket of a circumstance, if you please? Well, you're going to have an attitude. Am I here because of the circumstances, or am I here because God has allowed me and His purposes for me to be here? See, Paul says in Philippians 1, he says, I, Paul, not a prisoner of Nero. I, Paul, not a prisoner of Rome. I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, the things that have happened to me, these chains that are upon me, have actually happened for the furtherance of the gospel. My prison, my shut up condition, has happened for the furtherance of the gospel. How, Paul? How can this? You are a mighty man of God. Signs and wonders, building churches. People have heard the report. You fast when others feast. You pray when others pray. Paul, why are you there in that prison anyway? If we had friends like Job, we'd say, Paul, come on, confess this sin. We'll get on. I mean, after all, didn't you and Silas praise one time and the gates were sprung and God came down, Paul? Just give God a little praise, Paul. I'm sure everything will come out all right. No, Paul said the things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. He said there's some people who are a little afraid to testify. I mean, they're depending on Pastor Paul to do it all. I mean, he's the man with the gifts after all. But now he's shut up and Paul said, because I am in prison, those who were afraid are now with more boldness testifying for the Lord. Some others are getting into the act. Some ministry is being released because I'm bound. Not only that, he said, but I get a new guard every 12 hours. I wonder what Paul talked about. You know, as they kept changing the guards, how many of you know there was a chain reaction? To such an extent, Paul had to say, greet those who are of Nero's household and Caesar's household. Because every time Paul got chained up, he kept preaching Jesus, preaching Jesus, preaching Jesus. And the word of the Lord, though Paul was bound, he said, the word of the Lord's not bound. Hallelujah. It would go forth, and it was accomplishing what God had purposed. Not only that, how do you think we got 13 plus epistles in the New Testament? I mean, this man who's so industrious and full of zeal, he said, I've got nowhere else to preach. And so I'm coming to you, Romans, with the fullness of the blessing. I've got nowhere else to go. But when God shut him up, God was able to get some things that have blessed not only his generation, but for 2,000 years, it's still blessing us. Because this man was shut up to his circumstance. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Ask God what your prison is about. Ask God what this time that seems when the iron is upon your feet and this thing doesn't seem to go away and I can't pray it out, I can't praise it out. Well, I'm going to have to wait it out. But in the purposes of God, I don't submit myself. Listen, in a time of imprisonment or trial, you're going to do one or two, you're going to do one of three things. You're either going to submit yourself to the devil. Devil's on my back again. I can't win. Or you're going to submit yourself to the circumstance. I guess it's always going to be this way. They told my granddaddy had it. My daddy had it. Bless God, I'm going to have it too. I mean, no, there's a third thing you can do. Submit yourself to God. And he in due season will exalt you. Joseph didn't submit himself to his circumstances. No, as a matter of fact, when Joseph went into prison, the same thing that happened to him in Potiphar's house happened to him in the prison. He was put over everything in charge. He recognized in him that the positive God, the excellency of this man's spirit, and he was placed once again in that place of authority, ruling over his situation. And hallelujah. How many of you know that we are to reign in this life? Amen? I said he's ruling over his situation. He's not under it. He's ruling in the midst of his situation. Amen? All right. Well, not only is this false imprisonment, six tests. I'm getting through here. I think we're going to make communion and lunch. Is that all right? Six tests. He was tested by being forsaken. Doesn't get better, does it? Now he's in the prison. What happens? He has two prisoners that are put into prison. One was a butler and the other was a cupbearer. And so Joseph comes by them carrying out his task, whatever that task was in the prison. He looks at their faces. He sees they're sad. He said, what's the matter with you? And, of course, the cupbearer said, I had a dream last night. And Joseph said, man, I got in trouble with those dreams. No, I don't want to hear it. Stay away from me, because the reason I got in trouble because of a dream, and I'm not, please, don't talk to me about no dream. If it wasn't for that dream, I wouldn't be here. How many of you out there? How many of you know that that is just the kind of God that we serve, that when we seem to be bound, he sends other people to us in situations where we begin to understand that we've got to minister even in the time of our own need. And so Joseph said, come on, God's an interpreter of a dream. I interpret a dream. Tell me your dream. Of course, you know the story. The man tells him his dream. He had saw three clusters of grapes, and he was squeezing the juice into the king's cup. And Joseph said, here's the interpretation. In 3 days, you're going to be restored back to your place of service. Well, the butler said, "Woo, that sounds pretty good. I think I'll get mine interpreted too." But you know how he started out? He said, I was in my dream. Did you get it? I was in my dream. How many know there's going to be a problem? I saw me in my dream. It was me that I saw there. It was self. And Joseph interprets the dream. Surely you were in your dream. I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be hung, and your head's going to be, the birds are going to eat you. And surely these prophecies came to pass. And of course, I don't have time. The story is a marvelous story. But I'll tell you what, beloved, God isn't interested in just getting us in our dream. Huh? Because sometimes we dream of our own imagination. We dream of our own self. We dream of our own ambitious nature. And it's not what we've heard from God. And it gets us in trouble every time. Well, Joseph said to the one that was going to be restored, he said, "Hey, by the way, would you put in a word for me to Pharaoh? Would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" Huh? And the Bible says in verse 23, "Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." He's forsaken. Well, it wasn't time for God to release him, was it? Maybe Joseph was trying to help God out just a little, you know. "Would you remember me to the king? I'm in here. I'm innocent." Yet he wasn't released just yet. I love what Paul said. What do you do in a time of forsaken? What do you do when you feel it all have forsaken you? Like Paul. Paul said, "All in Asia have forsaken me." Aren't you glad he didn't stop there? Are you there? He didn't stop there. "All in Asia have forsaken me, but the Lord stood with me." Isn't that all that matters? I mean, when God and you stand together, you and God make a majority, no matter what the odds are. "The Lord stood with me." And David said, "When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord himself will take me up." And Jesus has promised, "Lo, I'm with you always. I'll never leave thee." Thank you, Lord. "But I'll never forsake thee either." Sometimes we feel that all have forsaken us, but please remember, the Lord was with Joseph. And he'll be with you. He'll not forsake you. He'll not forget you. Hallelujah. Genesis 41 is very interesting. As Joseph approaches his hour of revelation, of the revealing and deliverance, that it was a dream and an interpretation that started the test. And it was dreams and interpretation that left him forsaken. But at last, it was a dream and interpretation that brought him to his graduation. Hello? See, sometimes we say, "God, I think I missed you here. I'm not preaching anymore. I'm not testifying anymore. I'm not going to witness anymore to your power, because every time I do it, I get in trouble. I quit." Just like Jeremiah said, "Lord, took that mantle off. I'm through. Never going to prophesy again, because every time I do that, somebody slaps me upside the head or puts me down in a prison. They don't listen anyway. And I don't know what I'm doing of being a prophet anyway. I quit. Turn in my credentials." Jeremiah said, "While I'm used, the fire burned. It was shut up in me. I couldn't help it. I had to prophesy. I had to go. I had to do the will of God." And some of you have tried to stop because you felt forsaken and left out in the cold, and you felt left, and others don't understand what God's doing in your heart, and you want to quit. But God's brought you here to stir you once again. God's brought you here to put the fire in you once again. God's brought you here and said, "Go and prophesy. I'm with you." Hallelujah. His dream got him in trouble, but the interpretation of the dream brought him also to the throne. Hallelujah. And so when Pharaoh couldn't sleep because of his dreams, cupbearer said, "Oh boy, you know, King, when you were a little angry, there was a man that he interpreted a dream for me and said I was going to be restored. And here I am. I forgot about him." God hadn't forgotten about him. And at the appointed time, he calls for Joseph. And you know the story. The king sees the fat calves, and then he sees the lean calf that eat up the fat calves, seven of them. And then there were 7 ears of grain, and then there were 7 blighted ears, and the blighted ears eat up the 7 full ears. And Joseph said, "This is none other than God showing you by two dreams, the surety of this, a famine is coming. A famine is coming, and let the king, if he's wise, appoint a man to gather up the increase during these 7 years of plenty, because as sure as Joseph was standing there, God was about to send a famine." Interprets the dream. The king knew that this man had the Spirit of God in him and on him. He appointed Joseph over, and I think it's so marvelous. But let me just comment in this regard. I believe that we have seen, as it were, 7 years of plenty. I believe we're going to face some famine. Now, I'm not necessarily even thinking in terms, we're in a famine right now spiritually. I mean, people are hungry and thirsty. We go from one end of the country to the other. People are hungry and thirsting and just trying to a few handful of corn to sustain them. Spiritual dearth in the land, and many of these people are in churches of thousands, but they're hungry because their sheep are hungry. They look up and they're not being fed. We're seeing, yes, a spiritual famine, but I wonder if God in his own purposes might not allow us to be shut up to some other things too. The 7 years of plenty preceded the 7 years of leanness. But God had a man, aren't you glad? He had a man that was going to sustain his people, and they weren't going to just be sustained. They were going to thrive in the midst of the difficulty. Hello? I said they were going to thrive in the midst of the difficulty. Amen? God doesn't call us to go around or under. He calls us to go up and over. Hallelujah. And we're people that go through. Amen? Joseph had been prepared by his own trial and difficulty to prepare a people ready for the Lord. Well, how many of you know the last test? Oh, I want to mention one thing before I get to that. I'm just throwing out some things here. I only speak in terms of the purposes of God. You'll have to develop it as far as your own situation. But how many of you feel the Lord speaking to your own heart? Amen? You know that as it were, you've been in that school of the Spirit, and you wonder, when is graduation ever going to come? I mean, it's one thing after another thing, but everything that seemed to put Joseph down was bringing him up, 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 to eventually he was reigning in the situation. Hallelujah. But here's the thing, that's so marvelous. You're trying to talk about a beautiful picture. You know what Pharaoh named Joseph? Hey, get over here. When Pharaoh heard the interpretation of this dream, and he places Joseph over it. Where is it? Somebody help me here. I lost my notes there. 45 what? Oh, 41:45. Thank you. All right. Praise the Lord. Be good Bereans. All right. 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. You know what that means? The Savior of the world. Here's a man that's not only promoted, he's given the ring from Pharaoh's hand himself. He's put in charge of all his men, made to ride in Pharaoh's chariot, and everybody's bowing. Here was a man who's bound before, but now he's free. And now he's not bowed, but others are bowing before him. The interpretation of the dream. Already people are beginning to recognize a new authority that's in this man's life. And he gets a name change. That's a subject in itself. Beloved, when you go through something, God said to he that overcometh, will I give him a new name. And I'll write that name, hallelujah, on a white stone with that name upon it. And because he and I have been in the midst of that situation, he and I will know what that means. And Joseph gets a name change. And what prophetic significant it was that his name was changed, Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Well, Joseph had one more test to pass. He's reigning now, but he's got one more test. How many of you know what that test was? The test of forgiveness. How many believe that's sometimes the hardest test to pass? The test of forgiveness. I mean, after all, his brothers were the cause of him ever being down there. And he even, to account of what he had gone through, he names his children, as it were, at least his firstborn, to remember what his brethren had done. Now watch this. It says that Joseph, verse 51 of chapter 41, Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house. I mean, you see, something still has to be dealt with in his heart. God's made me forget all of the toil, all of the pain, but also all of my father's house. How many of you feel like that sometimes? I like to forget some of those people that did me in. I like to forget some of the things they've done. And yet, there's something still here that has to be dealt with in his heart. Well, we know he goes on to name also his second son, Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. That's what God's purpose is. It isn't just affliction. It isn't just iron. It isn't just the iron in the soul. But he puts your heart to a test to prove you that faith might be much more precious than gold, though it's tried in the fire. And out of that, he said, he's qualified now. He can reign. He can rule. And yes, there's a time that we need to forget the toil. We need to forget the pain. But don't forget the lessons. Don't forget the lessons. But God now has made me fruitful. Hallelujah. In the land of my affliction. Well, everything Joseph went through was necessary. Joseph, of course, we know when his brothers come, and we know all the circumstance. Joseph recognizes his brother. He realizes his brothers are alive. God had arranged that Joseph had been placed there for this very purpose, to get his brothers who had done him shame, and as it were. But he'd done it to save them. And Joseph recognizes them. And you know the story. I don't have to go into all the details. But what was it that ultimately brought Joseph's brother back to him? It wasn't just the famine. It wasn't just the provision they were needed, though that was a part of it. The thing that revealed Joseph to his brethren was the cup. Was the cup put in Benjamin's sack. Benjamin means son of the right hand. I mean, God's raising up a people of the right hand. Amen. But it was the cup that was put in Benjamin's sack that brought Joseph and his brethren back together. And it was at that time that Joseph made himself known unto his brethren by way of the cup. Now, I just make some comments and we'll pass and we'll get ready for our time as we stand to participate in communion. How many know Joseph represents? There's a greater than Joseph. He represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be aware that Joseph, as Joseph was rejected, so our Lord Jesus Christ was rejected. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Not only that, Joseph was mocked because of his dream. And so Jesus faced ridicule and mocking because he had come with a dream too. The dream of God, an eternal dream, that God might have a family, that God might preserve a people out of the earth, that God might spare a people. But he was mocked. He was rejected. Even his brothers, when they go up to the feast, they mock him even in the natural. They said, go up to the feast, show yourself if you're the Messiah. He was rejected. He was mocked. As Joseph faced temptation and overcame it, so our Lord Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. As Joseph was placed in prison, so the Lord Jesus was a prisoner to the will of the Father. Amen. He took upon himself the form of a servant, a bond servant unto the Lord. I do nothing but what I hear the Father saying. I speak nothing but what I hear the Father speaking. I do nothing what I see the Father. I do nothing but the will of God. He laid aside his glory. He laid aside those rights and the dignity and all that belonged to him. He laid those things aside and became a prisoner of the Lord, a prisoner of the Heavenly Father for 33 years. Hallelujah. As Joseph was made known unto his brethren, I want you to understand, even as Joseph was made known unto his brethren by the cup, how many of you know in Luke 24, he was made known unto his brethren in the breaking of bread. Hello? But he said this to them when they went forth to get the others. He said, except your brother be with you, you'll not see my face. How important is relationships in the body? How important it is to keep our heart and our attitude, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts for our brethren and our sister, even when they have done us wrong and shame. It's the difference in seeing his face, folks. It's the difference in him making himself known in the midst of his brethren. That's how important it is. And some churches are dead and some are dying on the vine because they do not recognize the head of the church. And they do not recognize the body of the Lord. And they do not recognize that except their brother is with them, at least in heart, please hear me. You can't do anything about other people's response, but at least in our heart, we do have a responsibility. We are our brother's keeper in that sense. And when someone falls, it isn't a time to say, oh, goody, goody. It's a time to fall on our faces in shame and say, God, we too are in shame and reproach because of this. Are you there? You see, because God is waiting, even as Joseph in the time of famine had been prepared to come to reign on the throne in the very midst of the situation, that his brethren might be preserved. So the Lord Jesus Christ is wanting to reign in the midst of his people. He's longing to reveal himself in the midst of his people. He's longing to cause us to have a true heart burn. Isn't that what they said? Did not our hearts burn? As he spoke to us, by the way, and as he broke the bread, their eyes were enlightened and they beheld him. That's what God wants to do, beloved. That's why we've come together, and there's been such a beautiful flow of love and camaraderie and fellowship. It's been the fellowship of the Spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You can't have unity in the Spirit if there's no union in the Spirit. And God in his own purpose had brought us together from various states and backgrounds and heritage and religious backgrounds and brought us together for such a time as this, that he, by the very love and care and concern, might reveal himself and make himself known to us. And so as we come to the table of the Lord this morning, I want us to be aware. You see, even under the Old Testament, when the priest laid the bread out on that table, it was a pierced loaf. It was a fragrant loaf. Now, how many of you know that represented what the Lord did for us? He was the one who was pierced for us. And he is the one where we go forth with triumphantly, distilling the fragrant knowledge of him. And though we being many were one loaf. Did you know what also that bread, that table was called? It was called the bread of his presence. The bread of his presence. History tell us, or culturally they tell us, that the original veil was perhaps a porous veil. It wasn't as thick as perhaps we imagined. And they tell us that the glory from the Holy of Holies perhaps permeated that veil. Passed through that veil to where the table was. And therefore it was known as the bread of his presence. And the priests came together once a week. And they partook of the bread that was upon that table while fresh bread was being laid out. Maybe we haven't had any fresh bread for a while because we haven't partaken of that which God has already provided. We want more in God, and yet we're not willing to do with what God has given us. Come on. But it was the bread of his presence. God showed up when they showed up. God revealed himself, as it were, by his presence as they partook of that bread. And as the brethren come, I'm going to just continue right on. Let's just flow right here. As the brethren who are appointed for the table of the Lord, I'm going to ask that you come. I want to read something to you from the New Testament. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, is that right? First Corinthians 5 and 7. Paul said, is that right? No, I'm sorry, 5 and 7. Paul said, therefore purge out the old leaven, that you might be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, or with leaven of malice or wickedness, or with unleavened bread, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and in truth. You see, Joseph had to determine whether or not he was going to receive his brother in kindness, whether he was going to receive his brother. But he said unto them, you meant it for evil, you did it for evil, but God meant it for good, to the saving of many. And the Lord Jesus prayed, listen, on the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. They said, come down from the cross and save yourself. As he hung there bleeding and dying. How many of you know he could have? Somebody said nothing but his love held him there. But the reason that he didn't come down from the cross and save himself, because if he had it, he couldn't have saved others. And he hung on that cross. His blood was shed. He prayed for forgiveness because he knew that many were going to be released from the bondage of and nature's night and the bondage of sin. And the bondage of habits and the bondage of all that the consequences of sin and curses and all that had come through the ages. He knew that there were going to be a people who were going to be set free. And so he hung there and willingly died and was buried and put away for 3 days, thinking he was gone. And yet he rose again by the power of the Spirit of God for you and me. And he made himself known unto his brethren in the breaking of bread. I want to read a very familiar Paul, who was not there on the night when our Lord Jesus was betrayed. But it was such an important night that God gave Paul a revelation of what happened. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe. Well, I'll read some there. 16 and 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. And then over in the 11th chapter, Paul received this by revelation, 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do also, do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. How many know that when Joseph began to deal with his brothers, their hearts were revealed? And they said, this is happening because of what we've done to our brother. They examined themselves. And Joseph was revealed to them. Well, he said, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So as we come to the table of the Lord, let us examine ourselves. It doesn't say come because you feel worthy. It says just don't come in an unworthy manner. You see, it's the worth of him who died for us that we come. It's on the basis of who Jesus is. And if we recognize that he bore the penalty and the shame, and he bore our suffering and grief and sorrows, and he carried away our diseases and our sicknesses, then we can come to that table. You see, because the reality, I mentioned it yesterday, I mention it again. If coming in an unworthy manner proves to be weakness, sickness, and many sleep, then coming in a worthy manner will mean strength and health and life. Amen? And he'll make himself known. And whatever you need this morning, come to the table of the Lord expecting the Lord. Sickness, let him be your health. Weakness, let him be your strength. Do you feel like all is hopeless? Let him be your life and let him be your victory this morning as we partake together. I'm going to ask my brother, I forget your name right now, would you lift your heart and pray for the bread and for the cup? Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. We just take the bread and pass it along the aisles. And what we'll do, we'll just wait till everyone's served, and then we'll partake together. If you would, please. Just hold the bread and the cup. We'll all partake together. Thank you. The flood, Lord God, and lose all our guilt, lose the stain, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions and sins from us. Lord, you've buried them in the depths of the sea. Lord, like Cora Ten Boom, you remind us no fishing. Hallelujah, you've done it. It is finished. Thank God you didn't say to be continued. Lord Jesus, we ask that you'll remove every spot and every stain, that we might stand before thee without reproach. Thank you, Lord God, for these days of consecration and days of deliverance and days of healing and restoration. Father, we thank you for the victory that we have in the blood. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome because the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Praise your mighty name. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Has everybody been served? Brother, and I haven't. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Brother, I need to be served. Did you get served? Feel that you got served. And brother, feel. Amen. Who's not been served and would like to be served this morning? Not missed anyone? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together. Lift your bread to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we come this morning to remember you, and how often we forget you. Lord, you've made a way by which we can remember you, not only in your death, not only in your suffering. We thank you there were only a few hours of your suffering. We thank you that behind the cross and the grave, you ever live. And because you live, we shall live also. And we thank you that that same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us and quickens our mortal body. We need it now, not then. So you said, even as you eat this bread, even as you eat my flesh and drink the cup, we'll have life. Lord, we ask now as we partake of this bread that's been blessed, make yourself known to our very deepest and innermost being. Jesus, we would have life with thee, partake of thee. Your body was broken that we might be made whole. And so we eat this bread now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's eat together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. That same night he was betrayed, he took the cup. He said, this cup, it's a new covenant, the blessing. It's in the cup. Joseph was made known to his brethren by the cup. Jesus, we thank you that you'll make yourself known by the cup to us. Lord, I ask that there's any need for reconciliation, healing, and forgiveness. Lord, all that we talked about this morning, that not only, Lord, do we come to you for that forgiveness, We thank you that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. So we partake of this cup, not as a cup of cursing, but a cup of blessing. Lord, that we might receive all that was in pride. In Jesus' name, we partake of this cup. Amen.
What a precious time this is, has been, and is. Amen. Father, we thank you for your divine presence that's in this service. We thank you for the word that's come forth today. And give us a new understanding, Father, of the teaching that we have received this day. Father, we thank you for blessing the food that's prepared for us now in the dining room. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing to rest and bring healing and restoration and deliverance to the physical body and the mind, the soul, and the spirit through the blood and the broken body of the Lord Jesus. We praise you for it. I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you now for your anointing to rest on the rest of the services this day and tomorrow as this meetings conclude, that we will leave this place saying it was good to have been in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.